fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 22nd of February. Prepper tip of the day: check your food supplies, inventory your food supplies, your spices, vitamins, supplements. Make sure you got what you need. Fill in any blank spaces. Do that now while you can. This is Firearms Monday. Building with Sam Andrews, a proprietor of Freedom Center USA. The USA.life page is Freedom Center USA. The telephone number will be answered beginning Wednesday afternoon is 417-718-2597. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 512-248-8252. Sam, our next caller is Jason in Mississippi. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, yes, sir. Just a quick question. It's not only ammo shortages, but it's I'm also finding very alarming. There's very short supply on cleaning supplies, and really? I was wondering y'all's thoughts on alternatives to yet. You know, I've always used either Ballistol or hops, but there's what other ways can you keep your weapons clean?
Clean and lubricated. Good question. That's a great question for Firearms Monday. Sam, jump right in there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you basically have several types of cleaning solvents. They fall into various classifications, right? So for a rifle, you have things that deal with the powder fouling and that will soften the hard carbon fouling near the throat, the first 4 inches ahead of the chamber. And then you have these metal removers that are generally ammonia-based that remove copper jacket fouling from the barrels. So things like Sweets and Montana Extreme and certain products from Shooter's Choice are designed to remove the copper. They're not the same type of solvents. So you need a number of different things to get the three types of fouling out of a barrel. You need something to remove the powder fouling. You need something to remove the hard carbon fouling. And you need something to remove the copper. So traditionally, men had these Hoppy's solvent on their on their shelf that they would clean their shotgun or their rifle barrel with, and that would deal with the powder fouling. And then they came out with Hoppe's number 9, and then another product that sort of started to remove copper, but really wasn't very effective. Then we got this product called Sweets 762 solvent. And that is a very strong ammonia-based solvent that's very good at removing the copper. Problem with Sweets is it doesn't remove the carbon, the hard carbon inlaid next to the throat of the gun and just a few inches down from there. So we came up with something to get rid of that. And it's called JB's Boar Paste. Remington also makes a liquid form of an abrasive paste that's softer than your barrel, so it won't hurt your barrel, but it's hard enough to remove the fouling with a tight patch if you scrub with it. Now, here's the interesting thing is you don't have to have these shelf, on-the-shelf, ready-made gun cleaning items to clean your gun. You can get something like penetrating oil. You know, I'm trying to think of the name that we use a lot. It's very inexpensive. It works better than WD-40. I'll have to get the name of it on the break. Hold on a second. I might actually have a can sitting here next to my desk. It's called the PB Blaster penetrating oil. Very inexpensive.
Oh, yes,
Walmart,
yes,
Lowe's,
sir.
Home Depot. Okay, that is an excellent solvent for pushing powder out of a barrel. It actually works reasonably well, and it also softens the carbon. So if you get some JB Boar Paste, so Juliet Bravo, JB, if you buy JB Boar Paste and some PB Blaster penetrating oil, you can soak the barrel in PB Blaster with about 4 wet patches and let it sit for 5 or 6 minutes while that solvent softens everything up. And then you can work a patch of JB paste. You can work that into a patch in a donut shape. No reason to put paste in the center because it doesn't touch the bore. And then with a tight-fitting jag and a tight-fitting patch, you can scrub the powder fouling, the copper fouling, and the hard carbon right off your barrel. And in a pinch, that works really, really well. So you don't have to have all of these traditional gun solvents to clean a barrel. A little elbow grease and a little penetrating oil and a little bit of abrasive paste of the right hardness goes a long way to clean a rifle barrel.
Right, the elbow grease. But like I was saying, it's not just a shortage of ammo. You're starting to see a shortage of everything that goes along with anything.
Yes.
But
yes.
I do appreciate your you, Mr. Moore, show, and thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for the call, Jason.
Now, John, right, one other thing that people need to know is that you can go to a beauty supply store and you can find ammonia based products in large gallon containers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you can mix that ammonia, you can mix that with aloe gel and make your own paste to remove copper from a barrel.
All right. What's a proportion?
Well, it depends on the strength of the ammonia you're buying, John.
Oh, okay. All right.
but you can ammonia will oxidize copper in your barrel very, very quickly.
Okay.
And then after you use that ammonia base to remove copper from the barrel, you just come in with some penetrating oil and neutralize it. And you can get copper out of a barrel pretty quick with any ammonia-based product. And this is not rocket science. It's just basic chemistry. And so you don't have to have the traditional gun label products to clean your gun. You have other options. Of course, we always recommend that you lubricate your guns with a synthetic motor oil like 0W20, you know, or 10W30 if you live in a really hot environment. And those oils will work as good or better at lubricating than any gun oil you can buy.
That's good to know. It's great information. I use the protocols taught at Freedom Center for my rifles, and the difference between clean and looking like a polished mirror is the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, a lot of people just wipe the powder out of their gun, and they don't realize that there's copper fouling and that there's hard carbon fouling. And you don't want that stuff to build up. It'll actually change the pressure your rifle fires at.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You got a question or comment, Farmers Monday, give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, getting back to the ammunition question, there's no glimmer of light on the horizon at the moment for ammunition becoming more readily available. Is that accurate?
No, it's just going to get worse, John, and I'll tell you why. Because the ammo manufacturers, I don't know if people remember, but back in the end of 2012, we had the Sandy Hook incident. And there was a huge run on ammo, and everybody bought all the ARs up, bought all the 22 rimfire, bought all the ammunition out of the distribution chain. And, I mean, it was gone, and it was gone for a long time, probably a year and a half, 2 years before you started to see ammunition trickle back to the shelves. And it took a long time to recover. Well, a lot of people in the manufacturing arena increased their capacity to manufacture right after the Sandy Hook incident. And then when buying levels dropped back to normal, they wound up going out of business or having to lay off a bunch of people. It caused a lot of consternation, those spikes in the market. They do that. They cause a lot of turbulence in the market and in the manufacturing arena. And so because of that, the manufacturers are very reluctant to increase capacity, particularly to the point of building infrastructure.
Right.
Nobody
right.
This time around wants to invest in more infrastructure because they don't know when the bubble's going to burst, and they don't want to be left high and dry with all this money invested and no way to recover the money. And so that's number one. The second thing is, and I got to this example before the break, didn't get to finish it, but let's take 300 Blackout, for example. I have a friend who shall remain nameless who's in the ammo manufacturing business. A buddy of mine called him, and we talked to him about getting some brass for 300 Blackout. And he chuckled. He said, I can't even get brass for 300 Blackout. And we're like, what do you mean? He said, well, I called this one brass manufacturer and asked when my order was coming. And if I could order more, I asked them if I could order more 300 Blackout brass and get in line. And they said, yeah, get in line, but it might be 10 years before you get a new order because the U.S. government has chewed up all our manufacturing capacity for the next 10 years with a large order. Now, here's the sad thing. All these manufacturers are telling everybody, oh, no, the federal government's not buying ammo. You know, that's not happening. And so this is going on, and we're not getting the truth, okay? And that's the problem, is the general public is not getting the truth. Is there an increase in gun owners? Yes, there is. Is it a 5% increase? No, it's a little larger than that. Is it a 100% increase? No, it's not that large. And so these ammo manufacturers telling everyone, oh, no, the government's not buying ammo, that's not the reason. Okay, well, why haven't you put ammo on the shelves for 3 months? I mean, if they were still making ammo and selling it to the public at the normal rate, you would see ammo show up once in a while.
Right, right.
But I buy from 5 different wholesalers across the country. I haven't seen a single thing trickle in 3 months. Somebody's amazing. Not telling the truth.
Obviously.
Because if there's no ammo on the shelves and there's all these new gun buyers, okay, A, where are they getting their ammo from? Why are they buying a gun they can't buy ammo for? Okay, and B, why isn't something trickling onto the shelves?
Well, it seems like there should still be regular deliveries of ammunition to the distributors and then to the retailers. Sam, we got a caller on hold. We got John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I want to tell you what I got. I picked up Mosin Nagant T-52, which probably came from Vietnam or something like that. I got the thing for about $118. It was all covered in Cosmoline, and I had three teenage boys, and we took that gun apart. We degreased all the parts. We steamed the stock and refinished it, clear coated it, and did all that other stuff. We probably fired almost 100 rounds through it of 762 by 54. Big round, you know? I can stop a black bear, I think, with this thing. I love this thing. I mean, for $118 and then to make a project with my boys, it's our first gun, and I just love it. But I noticed the firing pin is slightly bent, like not maybe like 5 degrees, and I'm guessing maybe that's not safe. I mean, we've got the first 100 rounds through there, but and things got a great report. I mean, I've had so many people at the firing range just go, "What are you firing? I heard that report. What is that?" And they all were intrigued by it. But is there a way to I probably have to get a new one. I don't think I can get that machine straightened out, can I?
No, you can't. You can't machine it to straighten it out.
Yeah. Okay. I should say it's a machined part. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Sure. Generally, we grind firing pins. We don't machine them. They're made on a grinder. But you're gonna have to find a spare firing pin, and that brings up a great point. You know, if you guys have weapons that you're counting on using to defend your home or your family with, and you don't have a spare firing pin, you know, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, how bent is it, right?
Yeah.
If it's just slightly bent and it still functions in the gun,
right,
it's fine. Okay. Now you're gonna see some adverse wear at some point, but you probably want to get a spare. And if it bent, it probably wasn't heat treated properly to begin with. You know, firing pins are pretty stout. You know, when you heat treat a firing pin, it's a fairly hard item, and they'll bend, but not very easily. And so if you have a bent firing pin, you probably have one that wasn't heat treated properly. And then the second question is, why did it bend? Is there something, was there something in there that shouldn't be in there, or what caused the bend? Because firing pins
actually
tend to be pretty straight.
Yeah, no, actually, and I got the name wrong. It's a T-53. So it's probably a Chinese made Mosin, right? That's probably where it came from, I think.
Could be, but you definitely want to get a spare firing pin, get that replaced. But I mean, as long as it's firing the weapon, you know, it has to come through a hole in the bolt without binding. Okay. And here's, you know, it's not a semi-auto, so you don't have to worry about it slam firing. But here's the problem. You get problems or issues with a firing pin, and you can cause a round to discharge on closing the bolt. Let's say that the bend continues to get worse, and it now binds, the firing pin binds in your bolt system with the firing pin protruding from the bolt face, because it's stuck out of position, right? And then you close the bolt, and it lights the round off, right?
Okay, yep.
So keep in mind that anytime you have unsafe triggers, or you have bent firing pins or firing pin issues, you can get into a slam fire situation or a closed bolt situation. You see what I mean?
Okay.
And so it's very important that when you load your weapons, and this is something we teach at the Freedom Center, you'll learn this in our classes, or you do not load your weapon unless that barrel is pointed downrange at the target.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you, Sam.
Guns malfunction, and as long as you're pointed downrange at the target, when you close the bolt, you're not going to hurt anybody.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, John. We appreciate it. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
As I said to those who have joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might, with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark and lamentable catalogue of human crime. That is our policy.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 22nd of February. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield Devices. The best discount you can get is at my website on EMP Shield Devices, on EMP, $50 at thelibertyman.com. This is Firearms Monday. Visiting with Sam Andrews, a proprietor of Freedom Center USA. The USA.life page is Freedom Center USA. The telephone will be answered beginning Wednesday afternoon. Don't call before then at 417-718-2597. Well, Sam, we're covering a lot of territory here, getting a lot of great information out. The firing pin thing, if it's going through the hole in the bolt and hitting the primer, it doesn't sound like it's too much of an issue to me.
Well, it can be. And so that pin is bending for a reason. And at some point, it could bend enough where it would bind in the hole, and then it becomes an unsafe issue. So firing pins retract. They're not always poking through the hole of the bolt face. And so like in the situation where you have a semi-auto rifle where the ejector plunger has gotten dirty or fouled out and is stuck in the down position and the brass is no longer ejecting, usually people never get to that point because when they close the bolt, the gun fires and nobody's even touched the trigger. We call that a slam fire. And that's because Eugene Stoner designed the ejector pin to decelerate the bolt and the firing pin before it locks up and gets close to the primer. And so what you're seeing with a bolt gun with a bent firing pin, you can get a fire on closing. If that thing bends enough to bind in the hole that it's going through in the bolt face and it sticks, it's bound up in the protruded position, then you got a problem. You go to close the bolt, you light the round off, and God help you if your muzzle's not pointed in a safe direction.
Well, seen accidental discharges several times, and they're scary when they happen. They're very scary. Luckily, none of them resulted in any harm, human beings being harmed or serious property damage. But safe gun handling techniques should prevent from people from being harmed or any serious property damage, shouldn't they?
Well, they should. And unfortunately, most people, like if you watch a firearms training video, I would encourage everyone to get on YouTube or get on some of these other video channels and look at classes being conducted by firearms training schools. One of the things that my instructors and I look at when we check out these videos is how many different ways does your instructor allow you to load and make ready your rifle or your pistol? Because if they're not teaching you to have your muzzle downrange pointed at the target, shouldered with a rifle, up on the sights with a pistol, right? If you're not in position with your gun on the target when you make ready, you need to find a different school to attend. Because slam fires do happen, negligent discharges do happen, and you don't want to be around when that happens. A lot of these training facilities, they have concrete pads for people to stand on. You know, they have this nice finished look to their firing line and everything. Unfortunately, they've created a ricochet machine for everybody to stand on. And a lot of schools will teach people to charge their weapons with their muzzle down. Well, what happens if you get a negligent discharge, a broken safety, a slam fire, if your muzzle's down? Well, now that bullet goes into the concrete and you get secondary projectiles everywhere into people's calves, shins, knees, ankles, feet, right? And so when I tell you, you've got to have your muzzle pointed downrange when you chamber around, it's for a reason. It's for your own safety and the safety of everybody around you. And a lot of people don't train like that. As I would say 98% of the schools in this country don't even teach that. Well, shame on them.
All right. Well said. Our next caller is James in Pennsylvania. Good morning, James.
Thanks for taking my call, John. Sam, I just had a question about gas blocks. For a gas block to be bulletproof, do you think those have to be pinned, or what process would you use for something like that?
Well, I like clamping style gas blocks. And our company, we make gas blocks. Like when I build a custom 50 cal semi-auto, I will build a titanium gas block that clamps in place. And I'll answer your question after the break.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool town. There I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Monday, the 22nd of February. I almost said March, didn't I? 22nd of February. My website is thelibertyman.com. Lots to see there, lots to check out, including, of course, the energy cleaner. It will help you with arthritis pain, help you get a great night's sleep. I use mine every night. I do. And you can also. Toll-free our line is 800-592-9543. This is Farmers Monday, visiting with Sam Andrews, the proprietor of Freedom Center USA. The USA.life page is Freedom Center USA. The telephone number is 417-718-2597. Let's continue with James here, Sam.
Okay, James's question was about a gas block and how to attach it reliably to the barrel. And his question was, does it have to be pinned? The answer is no, it does not have to be pinned. Now, we solve these issues in several different ways. The clamping style blocks with the proper torque and a little blue Loctite on the threads will work extremely well as long as the two parts fit together properly and there's no grease or petroleum lubricant on the shoulder of the barrel where the gas block is installed, and if you clamp them properly and put a drop of blue Loctite on there. Now, one of the things you can do to make that more serviceable is put a drop of blue Loctite on one side of the threads and then hit it with a torch or a heat gun for about 7 seconds and let it dry onto the fastener before you run the fastener into the gas block. And that will keep the fastener from vibrating loose, but will also make it easy to remove the fastener if you have to service the weapon system. The other thing you can do, and you'll see what we call set screws that attach onto with friction that just screw right down to the surface of the barrel, and they hold the gas block there with friction. Now, we've had issues with those. If you don't dimple the barrel and you don't Loctite the screw, you have to do both, particularly if you have a nitrided barrel, because that hard surface, that nitriding, is very slick, and those set screws will not hold over time, particularly on a piston weapon system where there's more force on the gas block itself. But you have to dimple the barrel where the set screws are and then Loctite the set screws, and then those are extremely reliable. Now, the last thing that we do is we like to design close quarters battle systems with a forearm that covers the gas block, so you can't bang it or drop it or knock it out of alignment. You know, no matter what you do, you're going to hit the forearm. I don't know if that answers your question, but if not, ask another question.
Yeah, no, that's great, Sam. I appreciate that. Do you sell those gas blocks, or you pretty much, you've got all you can handle just taking care of what you manufacture yourself there?
Yeah, well, I don't sell gas blocks just by themselves, but you can get them. I mean, they're out and about. Now, one thing I would highly recommend is that you do not buy an aluminum gas block for an AR. Those will impulse erode. So if you fire 30 to 60 rounds, 90 rounds really fast, run two or three mags through the gun and get it hot, it will burn through the anodizing on the block, and it will start to erode away the gas block, and eventually it will erode all the way to the edge of the block, and you'll have gas leaking out between the block and the barrel. So never, ever, ever put an aluminum gas block on a semi-auto weapon system.
Okay. Is there any particular brand that you like, or are you pretty much okay if you stay with name brand?
Well, if you're going to buy a gas block, buy an adjustable one. JP Enterprises makes a nice piece. And there's other brands out there. I mean, but if you can find a stainless steel gas block that clamps, that is also salt bath nitrided, that's the ideal situation, in my opinion.
Okay. Okay. One more quick question, hopefully, if I can here. I know for AR-10s, if memory serves me correctly, you recommended direct impingement instead of piston system. Is that correct?
For long-range weapon systems. For any precision weapon system, we like gas impingement. For anything that's close quarters battle, 400 yards and in suppressed, we prefer the piston systems because they run much cleaner, much longer.
Okay, got it. That answers my question. I appreciate it.
Okay, James, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Our call number is 512-248-8252. Well, what direction do you want to go next, Sam?
Well, there's a long-standing argument that our last caller brought up about piston system versus gas impingement. And I want to explain to people that it's a bogus argument. The gas impingement system allows gas to come out of the barrel, run all the way down a tube, back into your action. It goes into a gas key in your bolt carrier and then travels down to where the piston rings are on the bolt and then splits the carrier and the bolt, pushes them away, and the cam pin and the helix cause it to twist, which unlocks your gun. Problem with that, the weakness of that is that it blows hot gas and burnt powder back into your bolt carrier and your bolt system and into your receiver. So when you put a suppressor on an AR, it causes back pressure, which even more gas and more powder fouling and more crap gets blown back into your action, your bolt, and your bolt carrier, which means you don't get as many rounds fired through the gun before it starts short stroking, not extracting, and causing problems. So you have to clean the gun every 100 to 200 rounds if you're suppressed with a gas impingement system. Not good for a battle rifle. Perfect. Now, a piston system keeps all of the gas up near the barrel in the gas port, right near the gas port. And so it's expanding a piston right above the gas port of the barrel and driving an op rod, a solid rod, back to push on a solid key on your bolt carrier. And that splits the bolt and the bolt carrier on the same helix and allows the thing to unlock with no hot gas or burnt powder coming back into your bolt carrier, your cam pin, your bolt system. And you don't even need piston rings on the bolt with a piston kit system. And so it's much cleaner and much better for a suppressed system where you may have to shoot a lot of rounds in a fight. Now, having bragged about the qualities of the piston system over gas impingement on a close quarters battle weapon that's firing a lot of rounds, it's exactly the opposite for a precision weapon system. The piston system causes barrel harmonic issues. It interferes with consistent barrel harmonics on a precision weapon, and the piston system will cause vertical dispersion on a precision weapon system, which is why with a precision weapon system, we're usually not firing hundreds of rounds. We're usually firing one or two rounds and we're moving to get out of that location. And so when you're in that sniping long range environment, you don't need the ability to fire 1,000 rounds without having to clean your gun. You can fire one or two rounds and move because you should. Now, relocate. And otherwise, you're going to get compromised and you're going to be killed. And so with the precision weapon system, the accuracy is the most important thing. And since the piston kits interfere with accuracy, they interfere with consistent barrel harmonics, it induces or causes vertical dispersion at long range. And we don't like that.
Define long range. Define long range, please, sir.
400 yards and further.
Okay. All right.
If you're shooting past 400 yards with an AR-10 and you're suppressed, you know, in a precision weapon environment, you're going to want a gas impingement system because you can hand load to a level of accuracy that defies logic. And it's a very useful thing to have a really accurate semi-auto sniper weapon system. We build these 260 improved AR-10s that will shoot sub 3-inch groups back to back to back at 1,000 yards. I mean, they're phenomenal. But you can't do that if you have a piston operating system. You need gas impingement. You need the traditional gas tube and all of that stuff to get a precision semi-auto to shoot really, really well.
Well, I hope that gives people a heads up on the difference between the two. That's details I haven't heard before about the difference for precision marksmanship and close quarters combat. That's a big difference.
There's a long-standing argument on the web about is piston better or is gas impingement better, and it's a stupid argument. It's a fool's errand. Okay, the piston kit, piston system is far superior in a close quarters battle situation where lots of rounds are being fired, particularly in a suppressed weapon system, where the gas impingement system is far superior past 400 or 500 yards out to, you know, depending on what your caliber can do, out to 1,500 to 1,700 yards on a semi-auto system. The gas impingement is far superior because it allows the barrel to reproduce its harmonics and you can control vertical dispersion and minimize it.
All right. All right. Well, that's good information. Let's go back to thermal imaging for a while. You're not taking orders for thermal imaging scopes at the moment, sir?
Not until I start getting some of these orders filled. You know, I've had orders in for the better part of 2 months, and I'm not seeing these certain models that are really useful and popular. You know, that's part of the problem is they're extremely popular. And so my suppliers are going to have to catch up before I'm going to take people's money, you know, and order more thermal. And, you know, I hate to be that way because a lot of people call me and they, oh, Sam, I just want to get in line. Let me send you 10 grand for this thermal. And, you know, and to a point, I'm fine waiting. But you know what? I don't want to get calls. I don't have time to field the phone calls. You tell someone 2 months, and at the five-week mark, they start calling you every 4 days and leaving you nasty messages. Right. Where's my thermal? You know, blah, blah, blah. I don't have time for that. I don't control when your thermal comes in. So I'm just going to stop ordering thermal until things catch up. Because I don't feel like being harassed for something that's completely out of my control.
Well, you don't need that. Life's too short. It really is.
And you know, I warned everybody, John. I mean, 18 months ago, was I not on this show telling people there's going to come a time when you won't be able to get thermal, and that time is not very far off. Well, here we are, folks.
Here we are. Well, we warned people. We warned them. We warned them. And they procrastinated, and here we are. A few months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, you could have placed your order. I know you were taking bulk orders and got your thermal imaging device. But, well, we did what we could, Sam, didn't we?
Well, you know, if you'd have placed your order 3 months ago, you probably would have gotten that site shipped to your door within 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, there's about a 90, depending on what model you order, there's about a 99% chance that we would have shipped that thing out to you in a reasonable time frame. I've got 3 or 4 standing orders right now that I'm on week 9. And I'm wondering, where in the hell are these thermal sites and what is taking so long? And, you know, when you call the distributor, you know, the importer or the distributor, depending on what model, I think the Pulsars are made overseas. I think the Trigicons are made here. But depending on whether you ordered a Trigicon or a Pulsar, you call these people and you're like, well, they're like, demand, COVID, blah, blah, blah. You're just going to have to wait. You know, those are the answers that you get. And being, you know, just one guy, Trigicon doesn't care if I order from them or not. There's a thermal wholesaler in the South that shall remain nameless that ordered $1.7 million worth of thermal from Trigicon last year. This year, they were told, unless you place $1 million standing order, we're just going to sell to you at retail.
Really?
Now, if the thermal sites are, if the manufacturing companies are being that ignorant to people that spend millions with them, how much do you think they care about a guy like me that might spend $180,000 to $200,000 a year with them?
Right.
They don't care.
Nope. Obviously. Obviously, that's a shame, but that's where we are. How many companies are manufacturing thermal scopes, Sam?
Off the top of my head, you've got Trigicon, you've got ATN, you've got Pulsar. You know, there's a few others out there. But it's only, you know, you used to have FLIR in the game. But, of course, the federal government told them, well, if you want our contracts, you need to stop selling thermal to civilians. And that's exactly what FLIR did. And I have a really strong feeling that some of these other companies are being put under the same pressure by the Biden administration, because we didn't have any of these problems when Trump was president.
That's right. That's
now, here right. We are, you know, and the ammo manufacturers are lying to everybody, telling them, oh, no, we're producing more ammo than we ever have. That's not the issue. It's not the federal government. It's just demand. Yeah, well, BS. You know, and you know, that's why you go to a brass manufacturer and you try and order 300 blackout brass, and they tell you 10 years because the federal government's chewed up all their manufacturing capacity. Well, that's not what you told the public.
Right. Right.
But here we are, folks.
Here we are.
Now, let's talk about a workaround for you 300 blackout guys, because I know we're going to hit a break here real quick.
Right.
You can make 300 blackout brass out of once fired 223 brass, but you need an annealing machine, and you need a way to accurately cut the brass and turn the necks. So if you get a neck turner and an annealing machine, you can make your own 300 blackout brass.
That's good information. It'll help a lot of guys get the brass that they need, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, annealing machines run between 200 and 500 bucks, depending on how much money you want to spend. Or you can just buy a shell holder and a drill press and use your propane torch. And I'll explain how to do that after the break.
Okay. We're not going to take any more calls. We'll use up our time left to with this explanation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Monday, the 22nd of February. Well, Sam, let's get that details on how to do this process with this brass here. You're on mute, Sam. You're on mute.
I am off mute.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how to make your own 300 blackout brass. So you need to trim the case to length. And you're going to cut it just below the shoulder at a particular length. And then you're going to turn the neck, size it, or turn it, both actually. And then you're going to have to anneal the neck and shoulder area.
Now, annealing is a word that means to soften it in some respects. So you're taking the metal, the brass, from one state to another. The brass is generally hard, particularly near the head where the primer is at. And then, if you've ever bought Lapua brass, you'll notice that the shoulder neck area is a different color. That's the area that's been annealed. It's been softened to the point where it's springy. And the reason you want the neck to be springy is because when you press the bullet in place, that springy characteristic of the neck helps the brass hold the bullet with some neck tension. And it keeps the neck from splitting when you fire the gun. And the neck expands and releases the bullet. Now, how do you anneal the necks? Well, you can put them in a shell holder in a drill press upside down, and you put a little something just the size of a salad bowl or whatever full of cold water below it. You turn all the lights off. Get a propane torch set on low and spin that case in the drill press, somewhere around 100, 200 RPM. Now, with the lights out and your eyes adjusted to the darkness, you can then put the flame of the propane torch on the neck shoulder area. And you want to have the flame focused on the base of the neck just before the shoulder. And don't get the flame too close. You're spinning this case, you're warming up the neck and shoulder, and you will reach a point in just a few seconds where the neck and the shoulder will start to glow a very, very faint red. When you see that thing start to emit the slightest amount of light, you pull the torch away and you quench it in the water. You use the handle of the drill press to dunk the neck and shoulder and the whole case into water and cool it off and quench it and pull it out. And you will restore the springiness to the neck by doing that. So if you don't want to spend $200 to $600 on an annealing machine, you can anneal cases with that method very effectively.
All right. Well, if you had a way to get the case in and get out of the in and out of the drill press quickly, that could be done in, less than 1 minute per case, I would assume?
Oh, you can anneal, 80 cases an hour. Like that.
Okay.
Now, they do make machines where you can anneal a whole bunch more cases a whole lot faster. So depending on how much brass you want to do, how much annealing you want to do, and how much money you want to spend. John, thank you.
It was a good show. Thank you, sir. We'll have you back next Monday. That's it for today. Medical supplies, plenty of essential oil. Now, like you can. Unsafe fucking day. God bless America.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.